It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Mike Finnerty, and we are about to get stuck into a marathon weekend of GAA action. Three county finals coming down the tracks at speed. First, on Saturday evening, we have the junior final, Kilmaine and Kilmina at 5, followed by, arguably, the match of the weekend, Ball against Kilchumaa in the intermediate final at 7. More of that anon. And then on Sunday, the main event, I suppose if it was on Sky Sports, they'd call it Super Sunday. The county senior final, Brafey against Knockmore, the first time they've ever met in a county senior final. And of course, as if one of our panellists this evening needed reminding, Brafey bidding to win their first ever senior championship. Knockmore looking for their first since 1997. It throws in at 3:35. So just if you are planning to watch it on TV, or maybe, just maybe, you end up getting inside the ground, those 5 minutes could be very, very important, because you wouldn't know what you'd miss in the first 5 minutes of a county final. Isn't that right? Edwin McGrail from Brafey, Brafey man in Ackle, as we've come to know you. Ed, first things first, how are the nerves?
They're not bad. It's only Monday, Mike, I suppose. The weekend might be a different story, but I'm a bit concerned that you think I'm more nervous than the man across the table who has to actually go out and play in a county final.
Ger Flanagan, I couldn't have introduced you better myself. You feeling good? You feeling lucky? Confident? How would you describe the mood? I mean, you are the Ball joint captain as well, so I suppose technically here you're speaking on behalf of the group here. So what's the mood like in the Ball camp ahead of the county final?
I don't know what you mean by suggesting, do I feel lucky, Mike, or anything? Are you still sorry that we bet, or sad that we bet your native Ballinrobe last week?
No, that's old news, Ger. You know, the way it works in this industry, we're always looking forward. So it's all about Ball and Kilchumaa now.
Yeah, well, the mood is very good in the camp, just have you know. Yeah, we came off a training session in Scrone there on Sunday morning out on the beach. Lovely early morning session. What more would you want?
I love the new breed of footballer, Ed. Like, I was chatting to Conor Heenahan. You can read our exclusive interview with Conor in the Mayo News this week. He, of course, for the two listeners who may not recognise his name, he's not just operations manager at Joe.ie, but he is the veteran, the battle-hardened Kilchumaa centre-half-back, mid-30s. He's been around the block. He's lost more than his fair share of intermediate finals. But, you know, chatting to him last week, even though he's that little bit older than Ger, I could detect a certain quiet confidence, you know, bullishness about Kilchumaa's chances. Here we've got the Ball joint captain, not exactly a shrinking violet either, or talking down their chances. It never used to be like this, Ed. You remember the days when everyone would be talking down their chances? Now they're all talking them up.
And remember the days where the advice of managers would be, don't read the papers, and poor Ger doesn't have that choice. Not alone can he not have to read the papers, but he has to actually produce the papers and sit on a podcast. But yeah, it looks like water off a duck's back, in fairness, doesn't it?
So yeah, we're going to dive in over the next little while to the three county finals, and also coming up at one stage or another, we haven't quite decided where we're going to drop it in just yet, we're going to hear some of the thoughts of our expert analysts that we signed up for the paper this week. We've got the former St. Vincent's, Lewisburg and Wicklow footballer, St. Mary's in Wicklow, Austin O'Malley. All I know is he played in four county finals and he won all four. So that was good enough for us to get Austin on board. And we're also going to hear from Sean Carey, the former Kiltane footballer, the current Arda player coach, and of course the former Mayo selector as well, who cast an expert eye over the senior final for us. So not alone can you read their thoughts in the paper this week, we're going to hear a little bit from the two lads as well later on in the podcast. But I suppose let's start at the start, Ed. Let's tackle the senior final. Winner on the day. This is one, I suppose, obvious change from previous years. Extra time, if they're level after an hour. If they're still level, it goes to penalties. Is it likely to happen? Is that the way you feel about it? Is there so little between these two teams? Because I've been on a few different podcasts and we've been chatting about nothing else for the last few days here in the office as well. And I get the sense that nobody's too sure who's going to win this county final. Brafey are the favourites, but depending on what day of the week it is or what time of the day it is, I know personally I've been jumping from one to the other and back again. But even though people are divided on who wins it, is it going to be spectacularly close as well? Like, could you see a scenario where we go to penalties and you get all the drama that goes with it?
Yeah, you asked me about nerves. That's when I definitely would be nervous if it went to penalties. But yeah, absolutely. That's a possibility. There's no guarantee it'll go down. It'll go down to the wire. Both teams, when they get the wind at their backs, can be so devastatingly brilliant that you could see a scenario where either team gets momentum at the right stage in a game and they could actually pull clear and see it out, or it could go right down to the very wire, depending on how it pans out. And yeah, it's I was looking at the different contributors and the different previews, and yeah, people are finding it very, very hard to call it. And there's probably a few reasons for that. From a Brafe point of view, they haven't got over the line. You've lost three county finals before in the last 8 years, seven, 8 years. And, you know, people are wondering, do they have what it takes at this stage to get over the line? And not more, it's kind of the other end of the spectrum. It's such a young team coming through. Do they have the wherewithal to get the job done so early in their progression as a group? And those questions are both unknown. Like, you know, we can speculate on them, but we have to see how both teams handle that kind of particular pressure on Sunday. Like, have Brafe the experience and the know-how to have learned from previous finals? Or is there a kind of a question mark at the back of their minds? And from a Knockmore point of view, they've looked so composed and so experienced, really, in the manner of their play in the last few games. Can they keep that going? Or does the county final, you know, psychologically present a different challenge for a young team? And that's why it's so hard to call a result here, because neither team has won a county final in, like, no player taken to the field the next day has a county medal. And that's great. It means that there's going to be a novel champion, and it's the same in the other two finals. And that's what I really like about the pairings at the weekend, is that no matter what happens, there's going to be, every possible victory is going to be so precious to the club, and it'll be enjoyable from a neutral perspective as well. So there is an awful lot of unknown quantities in both teams, because they haven't got over the line. So that just makes it so delicately poised and so well set up to see how it's going to play out.
Sure, regular listeners to the podcast will know I'm a big fan of Sean Carey's work. And if you haven't already delved into his expert analysis in the paper this week, I really, really recommend it. But he makes loads of great points, Ger. But just to pick up on something Ed said, Sean Carey makes the point that this is a county final where both teams will feel the pressure going in, for the reasons Ed said. Brafe haven't been able to get over the line just yet. Knockmore, it's more than 20 years since they won the Mauclair Cup. And as Kevin O'Neill said in his interview with us this week, again, it's a great read. Kevin makes the point, the Knockmore culture, the Knockmore psychology is such that they believe they're as good, if not better, than every other club team out there. So they've got that pressure of the 20-year wait, the history, the tradition. Right, lads, it's time you got over the line. Is that the way you would see it as well? Like, can you see this being quite a nervy, a tense, maybe first quarter, first half? Or how do you see it taking shape once John Glavy throws the ball in on Sunday?
I think KG is probably the best way of describing it. Definitely in the first half, I think neither team is going to want to show their hand too early or commit to anything too daft to make a mistake and ultimately ruin the game early on. And you know, I take the point on Knockmore feeling that they'd take anyone on their day, but I think you could probably say the same for Brafe. I don't think they're lacking any confidence or any self-belief, and you know, they shouldn't either. You know, with a team with the caliber of players that Brafe have, the O'Shea's and Robbie Henley, Matty Ruan, you know, James Minogue, who's been outstanding this year, Cullen Flynn, Robbie Fadden, I think they'll feel as well that they'll be an equal match or beat anyone in Mayo on their day. I think the big pressure coming in from a Brafe point of view is that they've got to this stage now. Ballintubber or Castlebar aren't in their way. They've answered their critics after suffering the loss to Westport, and everyone is kind of looking at them now as this is the year Brafe need to win it. While Knockmore, on the other hand, I think will come into the game. I think people probably would still be a bit surprised that Knockmore are there. Certainly I am anyway. But I think the biggest thing with a Knockmore team from a Brayford perspective is that sense of the unknown about them and the history behind them. But with that history is what will bring the pressure onto Knockmore as well. And they're a young team, you know, younger than Brayford, I'd say by average. And it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to that, because, you know, the old historic Knockmore teams in a county final were experienced and tried and tested, where this team isn't. Coming up against a Brayford team who, you know, is tried and tested in the senior grade for many years. And so I think it's going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be cagey, though. I think cagey is what the game is going to be. I can't see it being a shootout. I can't see it be a high scoring affair. I think it'll be a two point game, 1 point coming down the end.
Couple of specific things, lads, I want to ask you about, and we'll try and clip through it as quick as we can, because as I learnt on the Charlestown GA podcast last week, you can disappear down a rabbit hole very quickly talking about this senior final, and we could be here all week, and the next thing we know, it's Sunday, it's 3:35, and it's time to get to McHale Park. The relationship, Ed, between Brayford and Knockmore, it's not obviously your traditional rivalry. As we've said before, the Brayford bogeymen of Mitchells and Ballintubber, they're out of the race. Knockmore have disposed of Ballina. They're great rivals who they've got great respect for. Cross Maline, obviously, are now down at intermediate level. So Knockmore as well, it's all new to them playing Brayford in a county final. But they have played a few times in the championship over the last few years. And if memory serves me correct, there's been a few sparks. There's been quite a few cards. It hasn't always ended with handshakes and hugs. So going into Sunday's final, is there going to be a little bit of needle? Is there a little bit of history there that we need to know about?
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of history in terms of their last championship game. As far as I know, it was their last championship game anyway, which was the 2016 semi-final. And Knockmore won that game with a very, very strong performance. And they bossed and bullied Brayford on the day, to be honest, you know. And I'd like to think that Brayford are not that kind of team anymore, that they take it to teams in from a physical point of view, but Knockmore can take it to anyone physically as well. Like, you know, they just have that, they've always have that edge. Like, you know, they're really, really, a really, really tough club. They had played each other the previous year in the group stages in Knockmore in 2015, and Brayford won that game. But if I remember rightly, it was to see who topped the group, and I don't think Knockmore had the same edge and maybe it was the same in the group stages this year as well with the Ballina game. And in the 2014 quarterfinal, I think it was, Knockmore beat Brayford as well, and it was Brayford, I think if they were still there now, they wouldn't be scoring. It was one of those days where they just couldn't get the scores, and Knockmore just had the know-how and the smarts to get the job done. So yeah, there would have been, you know, there would have been a big rivalry in those years. But I'm not sure how many of the current Knockmore players would have been involved in those games. Obviously, you know, some of the older lads would have been, but, you know, a lot of the younger guys coming through in recent years, I don't even know if Peter Nocton was playing in 2016. So you know, a lot of the younger guys wouldn't have necessarily the experience of that rivalry. There could well be sparks. There's always the potential for it, but you'd hope not. Like, you'd hope that you know, it's a good, honest, clean game of football. But like, you know, it's hard to predict at this stage, you know.
I just to pick up on what you're saying there, I suppose the way Knockmore play the game now, it's changed so much in the 4 years. And on that note, I wanted to ask you about one man that hasn't really been talked about all that much in the last couple of months. Obviously, Ray Dempsey built this team and his fingerprints are all over it. But Terry Kennedy is a man who has, we spotted him. It's easier to spot people now, of course, in McHale Park these weeks because there's nobody there bar ourselves and a few officials. But Terry Kennedy is part of the Knockmore backroom team. And for listeners of a certain age, that name may not ring as many bells as those of us who have been around a while. One of the country's most astute and successful basketball coaches had incredible success with a variety of Ballina basketball teams that played under different names down through the years. Was the man who got the best out of Lee McHale and his brothers, of course, Paul McStay and was the guy who brought Deora Marsh to Ballina all those years ago, the most famous import of them all when it came to Ballina basketball. But tell me, from your trained eye, Ed, in terms of the way Knockmore set up and the way they play the game, what are the most obvious examples of Terry Kennedy's input to you? I mean, the transition, the speed with which they counterattack, to me would seem quite obvious, but defensively as well, there's a real bang of a basketball team off them.
Yeah, they're very good at protecting the D area around the D and putting a premium on space in the scoring zone, and they did it so well against Ballina. Like, I think we were saying in the podcast, during the in-game podcast the last day, like, it was 5-2 at one stage, and Ballina were very lucky to be on 2 points. You know, that's how dominant Knockmore had been defensively. So that's definitely one imprint of his. And another one, again, I suppose people in Knockmore would be able to tell you the answer to this. It's possible that Terry Kennedy is a huge part of the reason for it, but Ray Dempsey mentioned, when I asked him the question about the composure and confidence in possession that the lads had, and he said they're footballers. And what he obviously meant by that is, you know, that they're footballers. They're not athletes necessarily. They're all athletic, but fundamentally they're footballers, and they're able to play football. They're able to play with their heads up. And they were so confident in possession under pressure the last day. Cullum Reap was coming out from goal, was able to take possession, was able to take on men when he saw fit. And every single player seemed to be playing with the head up, which would be a real basketball team, always seeing what options you've on. And the decision-making in possession seemed to be so, so good. So that, to me, is probably where you could get a lot of crossover from basketball. How much, you know, how far down that road they were anyway, because of their natural ability and because of the work that had been done at underage in Knockmore. The likes of Ray Dempsey can tell way far better than us. But you could definitely see some of Terry Kennedy in that regard. And they just looked so composed when in possession. And in terms of, you know, if the quick transition wasn't on, they held it back and they slowed it down and they played it across and they kept probing and probing in their own half until they saw an avenue for attacking, and then they went down and two or three guys going with the man in possession, and they made that, I suppose, whole work and got up the field, and then the scoring power up at the other end to do the business, you know. So I think that was, from the semi-final, where I would have seen a lot of possibility of Terry Kennedy's handwork.
And just to back up what Ed was saying there in terms of the defensive system, there's loads of great stats when you drill down into Brafey and Knockmore's path to the final. But the one that jumped out for me is Knockmore have conceded one goal in the five games they've played so far. That was against the Stephenites in the group match. And I think that is proof positive that they run a tight ship at the back. And then on the flip side, I thought this was quite interesting as well. Brafey have actually only hit the net in one of the games they've played, one of the five games. Now, they did score four goals in that game against Ballyhadrine, but they're by no means a goal-scoring machine. And, Ger, that leads me on to the next question I wanted to ask you about specifically, because you're a defender. We've talked about this man before, and I don't think it's exactly a state secret to say that if Aidan O'Shea doesn't have a huge game on Sunday, then Brafey are in trouble. So given that Knockmore don't concede many goals, Brafey don't score a whole pile, where are we going to see Aidan O'Shea line out, and where are Brafey going to get the most out of O'Shea, do you feel, on Sunday against a Knockmore team that play the way they play?
I still think they should persist with them in the full forward line, stick with what they've been doing so far, just because they have the players for midfield in Connor Maddie and Shamie O'Shea, the interchange when needed. And just putting Aidan in at the full forward, it just creates such a problem or potential problem for the opposition manager, and it creates panic. And I think especially against a team like Knockmore, who physically, man for man, wouldn't be, I think, at the level Brafey are in terms of their physicality. I don't think they've anyone that could really go toe to toe with Aidan O'Shea. Shane McHale, I think, is their best option, but they don't have, say, the Declan Sweeney that they would have loved to have right now to mark Aidan. And I think that's going to be a huge decision for Ray Dempsey this week. Who did they put on O'Shea, did they bring Shane McHale back from midfield and put him back there and then just try and surround him when the high ball comes in?
Can I ask you this then, though? Let's say that happens and Aidan O'Shea starts at full forward, and after 20 minutes, 25 minutes, it becomes apparent that Doc Moore's game plan is to crowd him out, and he's struggling to win clean ball. Maybe a couple of frees have gone against him for barging. It's just not happening. Then, if you're Peter Ford and Shane Conway, what would you like to see them do? I mean, do you stick and persist with Aidan O'Shea in at full forward for as long as it takes? Or because it's a county final and all that goes with it, are we likely to see O'Shea come out the field? And then is that a little psychological victory possibly for Knockmore? Or is O'Shea capable of doing even more damage out the field?
Yeah, no, I've been impressed with how Conway and Ford have persisted with keeping him in there for the majority of the games. He's only really came out in the last five, ten minutes, or coming into injury time when Briffy needed to win ball in the middle of the field, and he's done that. But I think keeping him in there for the whole game, being patient with him, you know, giving Knockmore something to worry about, even if they're beating him, even if they're crowding him, all he needs is one ball to win and pop it off to someone coming through on pace, and it's a goal. You know, all he needs is one chance, but he's not going to do that out the field. If you're going to get frustrated after 20 minutes and bring him out, I think it's going to be a wrong option. It will be a psychological boost for Knockmore. I think they'll be happier to have him out the field and not have him in there, because they're not the biggest team in the full back line, as of the full back line that started in the semi-final. That's with Shane McHale being in midfield. So I think the longer he's in there, the longer the problem is going to be for Knockmore, and I think he's going to be in there for the majority of the game as well.
Ed, as well as the Aidan O'Shea question, I think if Louis Theroux or Joe Rogan were doing a podcast on the county final, and let's be honest, they don't probably know a whole pile about Braithwaite or Knockmore, they talk about the midfield battle, because again, it's come up in every conversation I've had. Braithwaite are going to win a lot more ball than Knockmore. The only question is around the percentages, or certainly that's the perception. So then if you go back from there, we've got to talk about the goalkeepers for a few minutes. And again, this is one of your areas of expertise. Rob Henley in the Braithwaite goal, we know what he can do with restarts and with kickouts, and we've seen what Reap can do in the last few weeks as well. So maybe in a brief snapshot here, what will the instructions be, do you think, to Henley and to Reap from Ford, Conway and Dempsey? What will they be told? Most certainly do this, and whatever you do, don't do that.
I'd say I'd be very surprised if, unless there's extra men at the back, if Braithwaite are looking for the short kickout, I think they'll be going long as often as possible. I think the opposite will be the case with Knockmore. If they have a sweeper back on Aidan O'Shea, does that create an extra option for the short kickout? It was interesting to see in the semi-final, Knockmore at the start conceded the Ballina kickout to David Clark. Might they look to do something like that and say to Braithwaite, you can have the short kickout, but you're going to have to work the ball up the field and we're going to be set defensively, you know, and then that's a question for Braithwaite. Do they accept that, or do they take a chance and go longer and hope to make the attack, get into the Knockmore half quicker? A lot will depend too on personnel. Like if Shane McHale goes back to full back, as I suspect he will, on Aidan O'Shea, he's a loss to Knockmore around the middle. Braithwaite should certainly do have the better fielders around the middle, but if Knockmore can, you know, be breaking ball, they'd fancy their chances on the ground, like, you know, of getting in around that dirty ball. And if their tactic is very simply to spoil the kickouts, or to make those kickouts a contest for breaks, and Braithwaite's tactic is to win the ball clean, well, Knockmore, if they can break the ball, they'll be better set up for it, because that's their game plan. I think there's an awful lot of interesting sides to that, and you have two goalkeepers with absolute weapons of boots, and they're also very accurate, so they're two absolute huge players. The next day, you would think that Colm Reap, because he doesn't have the same outballs as Rob Henley will have, that he might have a slightly harder job in terms of finding men. It'll be interesting to see what their tactic is. Do they just crowd a particular area and hope to work a break around there? So that in itself is going to be a fascinating aspect of it all.
We've talked about what Ray Dempsey and his management team have to think about when it comes to Aidan O'Shea, but of course Knockmore have their very own X-factor player. Peter Ford, Shane Conway, Marty McNicholas. You'd imagine at this stage, on a Monday night, what, 5-6 days out from the county final, they'd have spoken a fair bit already about Kevin McLaughlin. But you know the Braithwaite squad as well as anybody. If you were to take a punt on what Brafey will do or try to do with Kevin McLaughlin next Sunday, assuming again he plays in this blind centre back sweeper role, what would be the most effective way, do you think, of curbing his influence from a Brafey perspective?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you have to acknowledge that his influence has to be curbed and you have to detail someone to him. I can't see a scenario where Brafey will try and leave him free. And that's probably, if Ballina had their time back, they might think twice about how the first half played out the last day. And I thought, in fairness to Knockmore, they manipulated that situation very cleverly in terms of alternating Kieran King and Kevin McLaughlin. So I think Brafey will have to detail someone particularly for Kevin McLaughlin. That doesn't mean you're going to curb his influence as much as you would like, but it's a start in trying to fight that battle. Who that'll be is the big question. You could have someone like Michael Hall, who's quite athletic, quite fast, can get around the field. You could have someone like James Minogue, told to keep an eye on him and then become a threat on the front foot as well when the opportunity presents itself. So it's going to, but at the same time, Knockmore will try their best to free up Kevin McLaughlin and make sure that someone else is picking up that player when Brafey are attacking. And then if the attack breaks down, is McLaughlin's run being tracked? So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what impact that decision has. And does putting someone on Kevin McLaughlin alter the shape of your forward line if that person is just there as a man marker rather than as a forward in their own right? So it's a real, real tricky one. And that's not to mention the matchups that they have to organise at the back, no better men, but we have seen that defensively Brafey have been a little bit vulnerable at times in this year's championship. So there's a lot of thinking going on, I'm sure, this week in both camps in terms of who are we going to put on who and who do we think the opposition are going to detail for our key men. Like, so it's going to be another fascinating sideshow.
Alert, Ger, I'm going to give you a bit of praise and positive feedback here, just in case you fall off your chair. Really enjoyed your preview of the senior final. You took a slightly different perspective on it, and one of the things I suppose that caught my eye was just how much of a contribution Peter Nyocton and Colm Flynn have made over the five games when you actually take out the numbers and have a look at them. And again, as most of our listeners will know, we brought back the Golden Boot competition here in the Mayo News maybe 10, 12 years ago now. At this stage, we revived it for the Club Stars Awards. And right now, heading into Sunday's County Senior Final, Peter Nyocton leads the Golden Boot race with, I think, a 4-point lead on Colm Flynn. 130 for Peter Nyocton, 29 points for Flynn. And I'm just thinking, if the trend we've seen over the course of the championship continues and Knockmore run that tight ship at the back and don't concede a goal or very few of them, and Brafey struggle to hit the net, in all likelihood, it could come down to like an old-fashioned county final from back in the 90s when you had a relatively low-scoring game and the free-takers became a huge part of the story, and maybe even it developed into a shootout. So with that in mind then, you talk about pressure and you talk about nerves and you talk about responsibility going into Sunday. Colm Flynn or Peter Nyocton, one of them could well be the hero. They could well be the guy that we're talking most about on Sunday evening.
Yeah, and I think if it goes along expected lines of being a cagey game, it makes freeze and the dead ball even more important. And in fairness to Flynn and to Peter Nyocton, they've been excellent off the dead ball and from play as well. I saw Nyocton the first day out against Claremorris down in Knockmore, and he was superb that day. He was just playing a kind of at a leisurely pace, two-footed, surprisingly quick for a man that tall. And he's an all-around footballer, probably more complete, and I think he'll offer more from open play than Colm Flynn. Flynn seems to do his damage when he's sort of standing up. He's not going to take the ball off the shoulder and burst through it, two or three lads. I think he's going to come round on the loop and put a point over. But like against Westport in a game exactly kind of like I'd foresee the county final going, where every score is just so important, particularly for Brafey when against the wind and the wet. Cullen Flynn, every time he got the ball, he just had a bit of confidence in him that he was going to score. Nailed the frees when he needed to. Some were difficult, some weren't difficult, but he still got them. And he got 3 or 4 points from play as well. And I think particularly early on the season, when you spread of Liam Irwin not being involved in the Braithwaite panel, you worried about Braithwaite and where they were going to get their points from and who was going to take their frees. And Cullen Flynn has kind of stepped up into that position now and he's done it really well. Who's going to mark him for Knockmore the next day? It'll be interesting to see if you're not going to keep him scoreless from play. I don't think he just has that really good ability to find space. I think no matter who's marking him, and I think the fact that the way he plays football too, he's not a hard runner. You know, he's not going to be doing the Andy Moran 10-15 yard shuffles. He'll stand up, he'll just read the play, and then he'll just pop up into that hole and kick the ball over from dead ball position, like we saw with 2 or 3 times against Westport. Whereas Nocton, you're going to see him all over the field. You're going to see him back in corner back. You're going to see him up in corner forward. You're going to see him running ball. You're going to see him taking marks. But certainly, you know, they've been two incredible players for their clubs, and it'll be vital on Sunday.
You just got me thinking there when you were talking about the contrast between Peter Nocton and Cullen Flynn. It's almost like they epitomise the contrast between the two teams. I mean, it's a real clash of styles, very different styles. It's a clash of cultures almost as well. You've got the country lads from Knockmore taking on the townies from Braithwaite. And I mean, it all adds as well, doesn't it, to the build-up. It adds to this sense of intrigue that, like, I'm amazed at how opinion is split coming into this game about who people think will win. But if you were looking at it from, we'll say, a closer remove, the night before, the day before, it was getting that little bit closer, would you prefer to be in the Knockmore camp coming in as outsiders, having done what you've done, or would you prefer to be in that Braithwaite group where you've earned the mantle of favourites, you've played in previous county finals, you've learned the lessons, and you feel you're ready to get over the line?
Well, considering ourselves have been underdogs for the year, I definitely go with Knockmore. I think it just takes a small bit less pressure, takes a small bit more pressure off their shoulders. You know, Braithwaite being favourite, it won't do them any favours, just given the fact that they haven't had a good record with finals over the last number of years. But still, I'd still think Braithwaite are going to do it on the day. I just think their experience, the core of that team, they've been around the block a long time now. Yes, you can talk about their record in county finals and this and that, but you know, they've been knocking on the door. You know, their big players are playing well, they're in form, there's no major injuries from what we hear, and I just think they'll have too much experience for Knockmore on the day.
Ed, I do believe it's time for you to tell us who you think is going to win the 2020 county senior final, and why, of course.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jar talked about the underdogs there, and very interesting to hear Ray Dempsey say after the semi-final that the best thing that ever happened to them was to lose to Ballina, because it removed the complacency from them going into the semi-final after beating Ballintubber. And they're in a similar position going into the final, in that, you know, the bookies' favourites are Braithwaite, even though if you did a straw poll throughout the county, I think you'd go very close to 50-50. Mm. But yeah, there's less pressure on Knockmore, absolutely. And it's also, there's probably no better club in the county to come in with the profile of a squad that they have, in terms of how young they are, how, I suppose, relatively inexperienced they are in terms of senior finals and so on and so forth. And still, you can make a very strong argument for why they can win the game, you know, because they just, they belie their inexperience and their age, and in that semi-final and throughout the championship, you know, they play like a team way mature than their years are. But Braithwaite do have more experience. And what I liked particularly from a Braithwaite perspective about the semi-final against Westport was a couple of things. Westport kicked a lot of ball away, but whenever Westport got to within a point of Braithwaite got the next ball, got the next score, and they kept them, I won't say at arm's length, but they just kept doing enough and they kept finding a way. And I don't think that would have happened in previous years with Braithwaite. And I think the second thing that was very, I suppose, pleasing from a Braithwaite perspective the last day Aidan O'Shea struggled on Lee Keegan. You know, Lee Keegan definitely got the upper hand. Aidan might have come into it in the last few minutes with a few big takes, but he struggled on Lee Keegan. Matty Ruan struggled to get into the game. Shamie O'Shea was missing. If you'd said in advance, or generally, that Brafey would go into a semi-final against a such a good team like Westport, and those three players would either not be there or would struggle to fire, you'd say there's no way that they'd win. But the lesser lights played well the last day, and I think that's the been the biggest issue for Brafey down through the years. It's not the county men, it's that when you go past your O'Shea's, your Matty Ruan's, your Robbie Henley's, your Mikey Hall's and so on, that the players at the level below that haven't always taken on the leadership. They've kind of, you know, played in the shadow of the county lads. And in the semi-final and in certain games this year, I think you've seen other guys stepping up. Your Robbie Faddins, your Colin Flynn's, who we've mentioned. Garrett Dunn was very good the last day. Darren Moran has had a very good season, you know. So there's, I could keep talking and mentioning more and more names. So I just think that because of that spread of experience, and because more players are playing well, I do think that Brafey are in a position that they haven't been in a county final in terms of the ability to get the job done. But it really, really could go any way. And I'll give a hesitant nod to Brafey, but I would not be at all surprised to see David McHale walking up the steps of the next day. And I wouldn't be surprised either to see it going to extra time.
I don't know about you, Ger, but I was looking forward to the county final before we sat down here. And after Ed's speech from the mount there, I'm bulling for road now. I just want this thing to start. Before we move on to the intermediate final preview, we don't know at this stage on Monday night whether or not there will be spectators allowed in to the game, the games even, at the weekend. Obviously, it will add hugely to the whole event, to the whole occasion, if there are supporters there. But if there isn't, and I suppose, Ger, this will in a way lead us on to talking about the intermediate final. It's going to be quite surreal. And I'm just curious, we talked about a lot of things with you over the last few weeks about your experiences with Ball, but going into McHale Park for the semi-final and playing in front of nobody, essentially, like, what was that whole experience like? And you've played in a county final a couple of years ago where obviously most of the parish were packed into the stand. How does that contrast with basically playing in front of your management team?
A lot differently. There's definitely less tension, you know, you don't feel as much tension when you're going into McHale Park, and you're not meeting people, you're not hearing the roars from the crowds and all that, and you know that could be kind of a good thing and a bad thing. There's, I think, particularly as well during the game, one thing I noticed, generally you wouldn't notice it in the game too much, but one thing I did notice was that for refereeing decisions and controversial refereeing decisions, you know, when the black card is dished out, for example, like two were to us against Ballyrobe, there's no reaction from the supporters, there's no abuse, and you know our supporters can be pretty vocal at the best of times, so they're not getting on the referee's back, they're not putting pressure on him. The referee has time to take a second and consult his linesman without a couple of people trying to jump over the wall and get a shot at him. And I think it just makes his decisions an awful lot better. And you move on from that decision quickly. So that's one of the positives of it. But then you have sort of the conclusion of the game, which is the sort of the most bizarre kind of emotion. When there's the first 30 seconds when you're all kind of celebrating and go mad, and then there's just kind of a bit of a lull then after that, where you're kind of looking up into the stand that is empty and you just have to go back and tug out and have a bit of crack with the players. So there's no high point after the, well, I would say there's a high point. There's a high point when the final full-time whistle goes, but it drops very quickly. And you're just kind of looking around wondering, geez, what are we going to do now? Like, should we can't go to a pub, or we can't do this, or we can't do that. So there's that whole, that just bizarreness about it. But, you know, you'd hope there'd be some supporters there afterwards, or allowed in the stadium, just to kind of just to enjoy the moment afterwards and just to prolong it a small bit, because you know it happens and finishes so quickly. Even when there's people there, you know, I think looking back on if whatever team or club does get over the line over the next weekend, when you look back on it, you won't have the same kind of emotions as you would have in a normal year, where you're meeting your friends and your families and and all the club people who have been involved for years, and you know, they're the best moments of winning the county final. You know, when I think back to 2018, they're the ones that I can remember. It's it's the 5 or 10 minutes on the pitch afterwards, where you're meeting everyone and you're saying hello to everyone, and you know, you won't be able to hug and shake hands like you were, but it'd still be nice to be able to see people and sort of recognise all the effort that's gone in the last year. So yeah, I'm hoping that there'll be some amount of people allowed in.
I'm just thinking there, the best of luck to the stewards trying to maintain the 2 metre social distancing rule when the respective winning teams start to celebrate after the weekend's matches. But yeah, it'll have to be done, I suppose, particularly with the eyes of the world watching. The senior final been broadcast on TG Cahir on Sunday, and the junior and intermediate matches set to go live on Mayo GA TV. Now, I know we're teetering on the brink of starting to talk about Ball and Kilchimaw, but just before we finish up on the senior preview, I just want to, for the record, both Ed and Ger have tipped Brafey to win their first Moclair Cup. In our preview coverage, I can tell you there are a mixture of opinions. So if you want to know why some of our writers think Knockmore will win, then pick up a copy of the paper. Of course, you can buy the printed edition or the digital edition. And also, we were very fortunate that we got David McHale and Dara Moran on board for our quickfire questions as well this week. So they're basically giving us a quick glimpse inside their heads on county final week. We have that exclusive interview I mentioned with Kevin O'Neill. Ger has been chatting to Alan Durkin, the former Brafey footballer. Great as well that Sean Rice came back on board to pen a preview for us ahead of the senior final. And Sean Carey's analysis, as I mentioned earlier, is as in-depth and as knowledgeable as you'll find anywhere. Speaking of which, now is a good time to tee up Sean Carey's podcast contribution. He found a quiet corner at some stage last week, and I had a series of questions to put to him that he did his best to answer.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I suppose my initial thoughts are that, you know, we're in for a treat. I think it'll be a really positive and good game of football. I think we're looking at two teams who both play football the right way. You know, there's going to be a kind of a freshness to it as well, because I suppose the last decade was dominated by Castlebar, Ballintubber and Balladreen. So there's going to be a new name on it, or a new group of players are going to get their hands on the Moclair for the new decade. I think there'll be a lot of interesting matchups on the pitch, and it'll be interesting to see who's assigned to the various players on each side. And I think there's also an interesting tactical side to it. I suppose Peter and Ray are both very, very good managers, and they're former Mayo teammates. I'm sure they marked one another at Mayo training in the early 90s there, and it'll be interesting to see how all of these things pan out on Sunday, and there'll be plenty for everybody to keep an eye on.
Everyone says a county final is just another game. In your experience of playing in county finals, is that true or false?
Well, I think players and management usually, you know, when you ask them around a final, they'll usually try and say, give you the textbook answer that it's just another game and all of that. But I think when you get to the final stage, a county final, I think it brings its own kind of pressure, you know. I think this final is unusual, really, in that I think both teams coming into it carry the same kind of expectancy and possibly the same kind of nervousness to it, you know. You asked me, I suppose, about my own experience. I mean, I was just thinking that the senior final in 95, Kiltane and Cross Malina, was quite similar to this, in that both teams came into it with neither group of players having won a county title at that level, you know. And, you know, they went on then to win several, whereas we got to lots of semi-finals but never actually got over the line. And I think these two teams the next day are quite similar, in that I think whoever does win it will probably get that monkey off their back and could very well go on to win a couple of them, you know. Knockmore, a very, very young team. Brafey are, I suppose, have been there or thereabouts, but they just want to get it done, I'm sure, and get it won. And they too could pick up another one or two. So I think there will be a nervousness to it the next day, and a kind of an expectancy that comes from, you know, the kind of the novel pairing of a new winner, You know, when both of them got to finals recently enough, I think they had a monkey on the back that maybe Castlebar or Ballintober didn't have. You know, there's a comfort there coming down the closing stretch, I'm sure, of a county final. If you've won one previously, it allows you to maybe relax and play with a more relaxed approach. Whereas I think that Brafe and Knockmore, when they've been in those finals, probably had that nervousness of trying to get it done. You know, it's 97 since Knockmore won it, and I think Brafe have never won it. So, you know, there is going to be an expectancy and a nervousness there, and, you know, management and anyone you speak to within the team camps, they'll be telling you that it's just another game. But look, it's the game that everybody in Mayo wants to win, you know, to be senior county champions. It's a big honour, and, you know, there will be a nervousness to it.
If you were involved with each team, what are the weaknesses in the opposition or the areas that you could and would go after in the final?
I suppose there aren't that many weaknesses in either of the two sides. But I suppose, look, from a tactical point of view, there's going to be a lot going on the day. And I suppose if we just look at maybe two things and try and focus in on those two things, I think Knockmore's strength would be their forwards, the individual ability in that six to win ball, their interplay. You know, the scoring threat from all six of them make them very difficult to stop. And I think, you know, if Knockmore can get enough ball to those forwards, the Brafe defence from a man marking perspective is probably going to struggle to tie down those forwards, you know, because the scoring threat comes from all of them. Like in a lot of other teams, you can maybe nullify one or two, but it's going to be very difficult to nullify all six of them. And they're all very good scorers in their own right. So I think the key to Knockmore's success, I suppose, is trying to target maybe Brafe's defence and hope that, you know, their forward scoring power, you know, Brafe may not have the man markers to tie them all down. I suppose if we're looking at it from a Brafe point of view, they probably see themselves as having a massive advantage in the ball winning areas. You know, around the middle of the field, they'd hope, on paper, they look to have aerial supremacy and a physicality that maybe Knockmore mightn't be quite able to match. I suppose the kickouts feeds into that too, and Rob's kickouts and his understanding with the O'Shea lads and Faddy and around the middle there is a very, very strong advantage for them. But in fairness to Knockmore too, I think Colm Reap being in goal this year has given them a lot of good kickout options, and I think he has the game to maybe avoid that area, you know, and I think that'll be crucial too. He has a variation to his kicks. I saw him against Kiltane landing kicks, and I saw him against Ballina the last day landing kickouts on the opposition 45-yard line. You know, I don't think he'll be doing that against Brafe, because he'll be landing, if Shamey O'Shea plays at number six, that'll be playing right into his hands. But I do think that Cullen, because he's such a good player, would have the kick out maybe to avoid that area. But I mean, it is an area where on paper anyway, Brafe would have the advantage, and I do think that that's where they'll be looking to win that battle. And if they win that battle, it probably solves the problem they have, where the supply line to the Knockmore forwards is probably not going to be as good. You know, they're probably the two areas really where if you were on either side, you'd be looking to capitalise on or go after.
Why do you think Aidan O'Shea is so important to Brafe, and how can Knockmore try to curb that influence?
Well, I suppose stopping Aidan is easier said than done, you know. I mean, he's an absolute beast. You know, he's a great competitor and a superman on and off the pitch, to be fair to him. Like, if he's in the mood, I don't think there's any individual at club level who can really curb his influence. We saw Lee, you know, do a man marking job on him last weekend, and he did okay. But like, you know, you're not going to negate Aidan's influence over the course of a game. You know, I suppose Knockmore will be trying to stop the supply to him inside, and also maybe crowd him out with numbers when he is on the ball. I think if you go to crowd him out, I think a lot depends on the referee on the day as to how sympathetic he is to the bigger man. I know that Aidan in a lot of cases doesn't get frees, maybe, you know, when he deserves them. So I suppose a bit of it comes down to that. I think Knockmore's approach will be to try and stop the ball getting inside to him, because if it is in his hands, in fairness to him, you know, I don't think you're getting it back. And generally with him, something positive will come from it.
Same question for Kevin McLaughlin.
How can Brafey go about keeping him quiet?
I suppose Kevin is a different player. You know, the fact that they don't really play him as a forward means it's quite difficult to set out and stop him. You know, if he's playing as a kind of a covering defender, he's playing around the middle of the field. You know, he plays with that kind of roaming freedom that it's very, very hard to negate that, you know. But I suppose he showed his class the last day. You know, I think everybody sees him as a kind of a Rolls Royce of a player, you know, and that was probably one of his best performances the last day against Ballina. You know, if Brafey allow him that kind of freedom to attack from there with the ball, you know, I think you can see that he has the scoring threat and he's creative. Brafey will probably have to assign someone to him, you know, to prevent those kind of breaks the next day. Maybe Ballina gave him a bit too much space, you know. If they were looking at maybe the game they won, the group game, maybe they thought he didn't influence the game as much and they'd get away with it the last day. So maybe the group game lulled them into a false sense of security and, you know, they gave Kevin far too much freedom the last day. Like, if Kevin also is in the mood, it's very, very hard to stop him. And I think the fact that we're not more using him with that kind of freedom, he's such a good all-round footballer that it's very, very difficult to tie him down. It's not like trying to tie down an inside forward where, you know, a lack of space or poor quality of ball inside. Like, I think if you're operating around the middle 90% of the time, how you perform is in your own hands, you know, and how you compete against the other players. So I think it's going to be very difficult to stop Kevin, and on the evidence of the last day too, you know, he's in good form and he'll be coming into the final on a high after the last day too.
Which player on each team has impressed you most so far? And if there was a season MVP, who would be in the running for it?
Yeah, I suppose that's an interesting one. You know, if you look at Brafey first, and you look at Rob in goal, you know, his all-round game has been very good. His kickouts are good. You know, he scores a lot of points. Like, he usually gets into double figures, I think, in the championship for taking frees. You know, got a couple the last day as well. Fadden, the wing forward there, been very good, very impressed with him. Works very, very hard, you know, is involved in all the bits and pieces of work, the unglamorous stuff. And he also uses the ball very well when he gets it. Conor O'Shea has been brilliant in the couple of games that I've seen. Obviously, I haven't seen all their games with the COVID restrictions, but I'd be delighted for Conor. I get to know him with Mayo in 2016. You know, he's a very talented guy, and I've been very impressed with him in the games. He's probably playing some of the best football he has played in the games that I've seen, you know, from scoring, working, you know, all round game was very, very good. Colin Flynn has been a good addition for them too, you know, from freeze and play. He has added to that. You know, his free taking is very, very good and has been crucial to them in a lot of the games. But I suppose, look, they're all the guys who have done well. But I think the top man probably is, you know, doesn't need any introduction. It's Aidan, you know. I suppose he looks to be fresher than other years. I suppose the fact that he hasn't had a long trudge with Mayo, and that he's been able to, are fresh enough now to do himself justice in these club games, you know, because he's playing really, really well, you know. And even, you know, he gets special attention and he's still top class, you know, particularly that game against Castlebar Mitchells, which is probably the main monkey off their backs. You know, he was really outstanding in that game. If we went to Knockmore, then again, their keeper, Colm Reap, he's a great addition. You know, I'd know Colm from school, would have taught him. He played in goal, soccer in goal, I think, for Connacht. He was a fantastic goalkeeper, but he's also a fantastic outfield player. And I think, you know, I'd have been talking to people myself in Knockmore about it, and, you know, his avenue to an intercounty career would definitely be well served in goal, you know, and he could go on to have a really bright future there. He's been brilliant for Knockmore, and his ability to come out with the ball and hit accurate foot passes is a real weapon for Knockmore, and the length of the kickouts and the accuracy, it's a huge, huge advantage. And David McHale also at fullback, I think he's been brilliant, you know, leading by example, a great captain. Young Conal Dempsey as well, who's a current Leaving Cert, he was a Leaving Cert in the school last year. Like, he's been thrown in there as a young lad doing a man's job really around the middle, and he's done better than anyone could have ever expected. He's been really, really good. Obviously you have Kevin as normal, and Darren McHale, his ability at 11, really, really good. You know, maybe his vision is something that maybe Mayo could look at in that position, because we don't, you know, maybe we lack a player like that sometimes. Aidan Orm is definitely a player that everyone will see a lot of in the next couple of years. He's a brilliant inside forward. You know, but I suppose for me, the top man for Knockmore has been Peter Nyocton. Fantastic. Again, he would have been a former student in school there. Fantastic player. Probably the most naturally gifted player that I would have seen in the school. You know, both soccer and Gaelic. Really, really talented guy. And, you know, both feet. He's just a really, really talented bloke and a very nice lad, would it? You know, so I'd probably be looking at Aidan for Brafey and Peter Nyocton for Knockmore as probably being their two outstanding players in all the matches.
And finally, who do you think will win the final and why?
Yeah, who'll win? I suppose Knockmore. I think Knockmore have the better squad, to be honest. I think you could swap any eight of that Knockmore team for any eight or nine of the subs there, and I don't think it would weaken the team at all. You know, you saw that the last day. Nathan Armstrong is off after 20 minutes and Marcus Park comes in. You know, they just have so many players of a similar standard, you know, that it's a huge advantage. And I think that on paper, I think they have the better squad. So I think that's probably what it might come down to. I think that they should have enough to get it done. Now, I do have a good feeling that Brafey's midfield could have a big impact on the game. And they also have a few recent defeats, I think, to Knockmore, which they might want to avenge. So, like, I'm not saying it's a fait accompli at all. I think it'll actually be a very, very tight game, and I wouldn't rule Brafey out. But I just think that Knockmore, the strength, the amount of players that they have of a similar quality is very unusual, and I think it's a huge strength for them, and I think it'll be the reason they get over the line the next day.
And we've had to split this week's episode into two parts, so for the intermediate and the junior final preview, just look into the next podcast in your podcast feed, where you'll find all the info ahead of the big games on Saturday.